Today, I need to investigate a passage of scripture that's found in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I like the whole chapter, but I'm just going to pick on four verses. Then bring up the rest of it later in the story. My concern today is that if one is not careful, he can allow his troubles, his trials, or his tribulations to dictate his destiny. And for many of us, we're blessed, but we're not acting blessed. We actually have been delivered, but we are not acting like we are delivered. Contrary to popular opinion, many of us, if not all of us, are already blessed, but we don't feel blessed. We don't confess to be blessed. So therefore, we don't act like we are blessed. Help me investigate these scriptures in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, verse 1 through 4. And hopefully today we can leave this place a changed individual. Let's go. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Amorites, came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazamatah, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. One more verse. And Judah gathered themselves together to acts of help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Before you take your seat, turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I have three steps for your turnaround." You may be seated in the presence of God. Today, I have three steps for you to take to make this turnaround in your life. Now, I understand one thing about living for Christ is that many times God have destined for us to live on the mountain, but because of circumstances, we find ourselves in the valley. I've also have concluded just by living saved and witnessing and watching the believers around me that many of us in our spiritual walk with God would not always be the people that God have ordained us to be. Consequently, what happens is that God would give us a blessing and we would backslide on that blessing, or that blessing would not have its full effect in our lives, and we find ourselves in a rut, in a hole, in a pit, in a pen. Anybody here know anything about a rut? Have you ever been in a rut and asked yourself, "How did I get here?" Have you ever been shouting on Sunday, but before the sun went down, you found yourself trying to clam out of a rut? A rut is a very interesting thing because it doesn't always announce its presence. It just shows up. It does not send you invitations to say that I will be in town and I'm going to stop by your house on next Tuesday about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Ruts just wake up and hide under the foot of your bed, so that when you step out of the bed, you step right into a rut. Do I have a witness in here? Many times in our life, we find ourselves not being where we want to be. And if I have a witness in the house, somebody just say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know I can be further along the road. I know that I can be doing better than what I am doing. And I don't want to be here." And what I'm simply trying to get to today is that you need a turnaround. turnaround. Turn to somebody and say, it's time for a turnaround, baby. It's time. You've been going in the wrong direction long enough. You've been depressed long enough. You've been crying long enough. You've been weeping and moaning long enough. You've been feeling sorry for yourself long enough. The guilt has been riding on your shoulder long enough. Baby, it's time for a turnaround. If you know anything about God and his goodness, his word, then you ought to understand that it's time for my turnaround. This can't be God's will for my life. I just can't believe that this is the abundant life that Christ talked about. Anybody in here ready for a turnaround? Oh, glory to God. I got 3 points I need to make before I boogie-loo to my conclusion. The first thing I need you to understand, or the first step that you must take in your turnaround, you must understand that the battle is not yours. Turn to somebody and say, the battle is not yours. High-five your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's not your fight. It's not your fight. See, this is where you and I gets in trouble. We think that we are supposed to do everything by ourselves. We believe today that it is our responsibility to fight our battles. We believe that somehow, some way, we have to be creative in coming up with plans and solutions to fix our dilemma. But how many people here are really ready to testify that when you try to fix your life, you jack it up more than I can't get no help up in here? Amen. That you need to understand that many of us understand that this battle does not belong to us, but it belongs to God. Notice the story here. The Bible tells us the story about Jehoshaphat and Judah and this great company that had come up against them. The Amorites have come up against them. You got to understand that the enemies will always try to come up against you. Do I have any witnesses in here? I wonder, do anybody have any enemies in here? I mean, folks that mean you no good. You see them and they got a knife in their hand begging you to come on over here. I got some for you. Anybody in here know they got some enemies? I ain't talking about, well, I don't know if he care much about me. No, I'm talking about enemies that have declared and decreed that I don't like you. I don't want you around me. I ain't going to pray for you. In fact, if I could put a curse on you, I'll put a curse on you. Well, you got to be encouraged today that no enemy, nobody, nothing can stop you, can stand in your way. In other words, God says that the things that you are going through in this life is not your fight, but it's God's fight. And what I'm trying to get you to know today is that it doesn't matter who your enemies are. It could be the enemies of unemployment. It could be the enemies of bad health. It could be the enemies of financial hardship. The Bible said that the battle is not yours, but it belongs to God. So what I'm trying to tell you today, you got reason to rejoice, to know in your heart that it's not my fight. This is God's fight. Turn to somebody, tell them again, it's God's fight. You've been trying to fight your battles. You've been trying to figure out how to bring your life together. Baby, it's time for a turnaround. And the first thing you got to understand, that this battle is not mine, but it belongs to God. May I entice you to read with me verse number 17 of this 20th chapter. Notice what the scripture says, that you shall not need to fight in this battle. He says, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And I stop by to tell you that you can trust God in your fight. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you what I know for myself, because God has a perfect track record. God has been in hundreds and thousands of battles, and I come to report to you today that God has never lost a battle. He has never lost a fight. Well, if you don't believe me, just ask those that have come before us. Ask Israel as they marched around the walls of Jericho whether or not God can bring you into a fortified place that got you locked out and have determined that you would not possess the promised land. But I stop by to tell you that I don't care how high the walls are in your life. I don't care how high the problems are in your life. When it's God's fight, baby, all you got to do is walk with God. And God, but do I have any witnesses in here? The old folks used to sing a song, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Do I have a witness in here? While I am on this tedious journey, I
I want Jesus, to walk with me. In other words, they walked around the walls until they came tumbling down. When God is fighting your fight, all you need to do is to do it the way God said do it. If God told you to lift up holy hands and to praise him, then baby, that's what you ought to be doing. You ought to say, this sounds stupid. I don't see how and why God is going to do it. I don't see how God is going to solve a problem by me simply raising up my hands. But if I just wave my hand and praise God and he promised that he's going to bring me out, well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to get some duct tape and tie my hands up, and everywhere I go, I'm going to praise God. Why? Because my victory is in my praise. He got a good track record. He brought Jericho. He brought Israel around Jericho so that they conquered the land. He even brought them to Ai after they suffered great defeat at the hands of those people. God can even help you to rise from a fall because of disobedience. Do I have any honest believers in here that can testify that I didn't always do it God's way, and I stepped out on my own, and I thought I was big and I was bad, and I thought I was going to handle my business. I thought I was the man in my own castle, and when I start doing things my way, I fell on my face. My enemies whipped me up. My life fell apart. But when I decided to come back to God, the very thing that whooped me up, God turned around and allowed me to bring the turn to somebody and say, you better watch out for your AIs. You got to watch out for your AIs, because it may be small, but it's dangerous. It's not the big things in life that trips us up. It's the small, minute things. Do I have a witness in here? It ain't the big things that causes marriages to break up and end in divorce court. I can't get no help up in here. It's not always the big things, the big problems. It's sometimes the small things. You know, I don't like how you said that to me. Why, you can't ever take the garbage out in a timely manner. Why you cannot have my food ready in a certain time. It's the small things. How long is the dirty clothes going to stay in the dirty clothes sack? It's the small things in life. You didn't tell me that you love me today. It's the small things. It's not always the sex in the bedroom. It's not always the money in the bank. It's not always somebody out looking somewhere else. It could be the small, insignificant, minute things. You didn't open up the door for me. Why you don't want to watch LMN with me? Why we got to always watch all these violent movies? Why don't you like watching the little sissy movies with me? Can I get any witnesses in here? It's not always the big things. It's the small things. Turn to somebody and say, watch out for the small things. He has a perfect track record. He helped them to overcome Ai. He helped Moses in the wilderness as he lifted up the serpent after the snakes had eaten them up because of disobedience. It was God who helped them to overcome this thing. He has a perfect record even after he had given David the strength to overcome Goliath. What I'm simply trying to tell you, that this battle is not yours, but this battle belongs to the Lord. And baby, I don't know about you, but if this is God's fight, if this is God's battle, I am trying to perfect a few things in 2007. And one of the things that I am trying to perfect, I'm trying to mind my business and leave God's business alone. I'm trying to be where God told me to be and not worry about where God is. Do I have a witness in here? I'm trying to just do what I've been called to do and expect without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to be where he promised to be. So therefore today, I got to conclude that it's not my fight, but it's God's fight. If God said that he's going to take care of me, then that's God's fight. If God said that he's going to heal you, then that's God's fight. If God said he's going to reconcile you, then that's God's fight. In other words, wherever you are in life, put your hands in your pocket, wait on God, and know in your heart that somehow, some way, God is going to bring me out of this. You ought to just help your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is going to bring you out of this. And I don't care how long you've been there, and I don't care how painful it's been since you've been there. Maybe if it's God's fight, pack your bags. Tell the folks where you are that I'm leaving this place. I got a new place I'm moving to. I'm moving from Disappointment Boulevard, and I'm going to Happy As I Am State. Turn to somebody and say, it's time to move on. Point two. You got to understand, point one, that it is God's fight. Point two, you got to understand that it's time for you to be still. Turn to somebody and say, be still. You got to be still. In other words, you got to go to where God is leading you and be still. The problem with some of us is that we're just moving too much. We here and we there and we're a little everywhere. We want to put our hand in his business, her business, their business. Do I have a witness in here? And you just all over the place. And what you need to do is just go somewhere and sit down and be still. Notice what verse number 18 says in the scripture. It says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of Koharites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I stop by to tell you that after you have prayed for your deliverance, you need to go somewhere and be still. Now, what I mean by this is that many of us would pray prayers of faith and then we would turn around and go ask people to give us a commentary on the very thing that we prayed about. In other words, we would pray for deliverance, and then after we pray to God, we get up and now we go make an appointment with pastor. And I want y'all to know, don't put me in your mess. If you've already talked to God about it, if God have already told you what to do, don't set no appointment with me. I can't overrule what God says. I cannot put no wisdom on what God said. I cannot give you any more steps other than the steps that God has given you. What I'm simply trying to say, that many of us hear what the Lord is saying, but we don't like what God is saying, because sometimes God is saying be still and see my salvation, and we're too jittery, we're too uncomfortable. Do I have a witness in here? To be still. And what God wants us to do is be still, but we want somebody to ask us, well, what should I do? Should I go back to him? Should I try it all over again? Should I tell her that I love her all over again? Baby, if God said let it go, turn to somebody and say it's time to let it go. Ain't no sense of trying to justify it. Ain't no sense of trying to look at that thing and try to pretend like it's gonna work. If God said let it go, it ain't gonna work. And that's the problem that many of us are having. We're trying to love something that God told us to hate. We're trying to hold on to something that God told us to let go of. We are trying to embrace something that God told us to push ourselves away from. What I'm simply trying to say, that when you fall in love with things that God told you to hate, then you could never get to your destiny. God is saying that you need to be still, because in the process of being still, you hear things that you didn't hear while you was moving. Do I have a witness in here? When you sit still, you hear voices that you did not hear when you was too busy trying to run from people to person, trying to find an answer. Do I have a witness in here? Baby, it's time for you, after you've gotten on your knees, after you pray the prayer of faith, it's time for you to put something in your ears, shut out everybody around you, get to somewhere and sit still and watch God do his thing. Turn to somebody, say it's time to be still. It's time to be still. Now, after you prayed about something, the scripture says that Jehoshaphat, after he had gotten word that this great company had come up against him, that the scripture says that he decreed and declared a fast, and they began to pray. And after God gave him an answer, turn to someone and say, after. See, that's what you got to get to. See, you too busy stuck on the announcement of the problem. You too busy looking at the numbers of the enemies. You too busy being captivated by the number of problems that have built up itself at your doorstep. But you got to learn how to get past the problem and get into the prayer. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. See, when you get into the prayer and start praying about the problem, rather than just being intimidated by the problem, certain things going to happen when you move from the problem and get into the prayer. The first thing that's going to happen is that you're going to see that you are, number one, insignificant to deal with your problem. Now, I know that comes as a surprise to some of us, because we think we big bad mama, and we think we the man on the block, and we think that there's nothing we can't do. And we got strong willpower, and girl, I'm a strong black woman. Yeah, I'm a strong black mandingo man. I can do it. I'm a real man. Well, real men fall on their faces too. Do I have a witness in here? And real women need guidance as well. What I'm simply trying to say, that when you get caught up on yourself and get cocky in your own strength, what's going to happen is the devil's gonna throw you a slide, because as sure as I'm short and dark, everybody in here got some spiritual kryptonite. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. Everybody got something in here to make you weak at your knees. And the devil has been studying you all last year, all the year before, and he's just waiting for that one opportunity for you to slip, and then he's gonna come in like a flood. But when you with God, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Have God ever showed you how to get out of stuff that the devil put you in? Have God ever showed you a secret back door that the devil didn't know about when he clogged up all the other doors in your life? He thought he had you locked in and blocked in, but God said, don't worry about the front door, don't worry about the back door. I got a secret compartment that I'm going to bring you out of. David said that it was in God's secret tabernacle. It was under the shadow of his wing. And what I'm simply trying to tell you, that when you learn how to be still, God will give you a way out of your predicament. When you learn how to sit still, God would not allow your enemies to overtake you. When you learn how to pray about your problem, baby, you might as well pack your bags, open your eyes, get your shout together, because God is going to bring you out. Turn to somebody and say, get ready to come out of it. If you want this turnaround, you got to learn how to go to where God is leading you and be still. Go to where you're going and be still. Go to where you're going and go to where you're going. Turn to somebody and say, just be still, be still. Sometimes I didn't hear God until I just shut my mouth and sat still. Do I have a witness in here? My flesh said it's all over. Circumstances say it'll never come together. But when I learned how to just be still, I heard things in the stillness of my midnight that I could not hear in the brightness of my noonday. I heard something in the stillness of my midnight. I heard God whispering. Sometimes God don't scream it to us. Sometimes he whispers it. And you can't hear it unless you're sitting still and being where God told you to be. Have God ever put something in your heart, dropped something in your spirit that you didn't hear until you sat still and raised up your hands? I want to know today, does God talk to anybody else in here other than me? God will speak to you. Oh yeah, I'm trying to tell you that it is time for you to be still. If you want to turn around in your life, you got to understand that the battle is not yours. You got to learn how to be still. And the third thing you got to do, y'all ready for point number three? You got to learn how to change your environment. Turn to somebody and say, change your environment. This is important, because where we live at many times dictates the spirit and the attitude that we have. If you live and grow up and is nurtured in a negative house, you're going to grow up to be a negative person. I can't get no honest help up in here. Have a witness in here. You got to be careful that you do not become a victim of your environment. I found out that people that live in hell like to create hell when they get to other places. People that like to humbug and fight in their environment oftentimes would take that same spirit over into your environment, and now they want to be combative, and they want to debate, and they want to get angry with you, baby. But if you really want to turn around in your life, you got to learn how to change your environment. Marriages would be better if you just simply learn how to change your environment. If you just stop treating each other mean, your environment will begin to change. But if you treat me mean and I treat you mean, and then you get back at me and then I get back at you, do I have a witness in here? What's going to happen is just tick for tack. What you do to me, I do for you. But when somebody decide that, you know, it got to stop here, I'm going to show some love even if I don't get love back. How many folks know that love is contagious? It's hard to hate somebody that love you. My grandmama, you say, just love them to death, love them to death. It's hard for when you're loving somebody for them to continue to hit you and to beat you and to talk about it. Turn to somebody and say, kill them with kindness. Instead of going on your job getting ignorant with the folks that get ignorant with you, I dare you to show a little love. I dare you to let them know, you know, I know you jacked up and you got some issues, but guess what? I've been there and I've done that. I'm out of that stuff and I refuse to go back. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to speak, good morning, how y'all doing, I love you, anything I can do for you. Baby, you got to learn how to change your environment. When you change your environment, things begins to happen that you didn't even realize could happen anymore. I dare you, if you want a better marriage, I dare you to start early in the morning. Just start telling each other, you know, baby, I really love you. And I know I ain't been the man that I supposed to be, but you know, I really love you. And then around noontime, you pick up the phone and say, I was just sitting here thinking about you here. And I got goosebumps all on my back. And I just wanted you to know how blessed I am to be with you. I just want you to know that you're still the apple of my eye. I know we've had our problems throughout the year, but I'm so thankful that you decided not to leave me. And when you did leave me, I'm glad that you came back. I'm so glad that you've given. And then you shoot them an email about 3 o'clock, said I'm still thinking about you. Can't wait until I get home. Will you put on that red outfit for me? Baby, you can change your environment by changing your attitude, by changing your mind. Do I have any witnesses in here? How many relationships in here have gotten better simply because you decided to change your attitude? You decided you were going to dress a little different. You was going to act a little different. You was going to be a little different. What I'm simply trying to tell you, the romance bug can be resurrected sometime simply because of a little attitude. Turn to somebody and say, it's time for a turnaround. It's time for a turnaround. You got to understand that you can change your environment simply by developing a new attitude. Notice what verse number 21 and 22 says. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy and do it forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Turn to somebody and say, your enemies are coming down. Your enemies are, but baby, your enemies would not come down until you change your environment. Notice how they changed their environment. They didn't. When you look at verse number 1-4, you see a spirit of worry and a spirit of concern in the face of the King Jehoshaphat. But when he prayed about it, he changed his environment. In other words, he said that I'm going to be still and hear what God has to say about me. And then once God told them what was going to transpire, after he prayed about it, he got a new attitude. Once he got the new attitude, he began to change his environment. Now, how did he do this? The scripture says that he got the praise singers and the praise dancers, and they begin to sing praises unto God. Now, y'all know I am a great proponent of praise. I believe ain't nothing wrong with me that a good shout can't fix. I can't get no help up in here. I believe ain't nothing wrong with me that a couple laps won't fix and work out in my life. I believe today that if I hold up my hands, raise up my hands, open up my mouth and praise the God of my experience, I believe that the praises of God will usher me into the presence of God. And if I can get into the presence of God, a couple things I know for sure: that problems cannot stay in his presence, the devil cannot sit in his presence, sickness cannot hang out in the presence of God. When I begin to praise God, I bring in and usher in his Shekinah glory. Anybody here can talk about the Shekinah glory of God. I'm not talking about a chill bump on your back. I'm not talking about a good feeling in your soul. I'm talking about feeling the very presence of God. Have you ever been in a room you thought you was by yourself, but when you begin to praise God, that room gets full. You can be in the kitchen cooking you some spaghettis and meatballs, but you begin to say, "Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being good. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking care of me." And before you know it, the kitchen get full. You thought you were by yourself, but God manifested his presence in your place. What I'm simply trying to tell you is that praise will usher you into the praises, the presence of God. That's why I like to shout. That's why I like to praise God. And that's why I learned how to do it all by myself. Ooh, turn to somebody and say, "You better learn how to shout by yourself. You better learn how to shout by yourself." Because what God is saying is that if you change your environment by praising me and worshiping me, and we understand that there are two different definitions and terms for praise and worship. Praise is when you enjoy God, and worship is when you esteem God. Praise is lifting his hands, lifting up your hands, and worshiping is bowing at his feet. Oh, praise is when you laud at him, and worship is when you love in him. Praise is when you're celebrating him, and worship is when you humbly reserve yourself before God. Praise is that you address God, and worship is that you wait on God. Praise is when I'm dancing before God, but worship is when I walk in the room and take off my shoes in the presence of the God. Praise is when I acclaim him, but worship is when I behold him. Praise is the outer court, but worship is coming inside of the holies of holies. What I'm simply trying to tell you is that when you extol him for what he's done, that's praise. But when you extol him for who he is, in other words, I worship him and he don't ever have to do anything. He is worthy of my worship. Praise is when you realize heirship to his throne, but worship is when you throw crown at his feet. Oh, when you exalt God, you are praising him. But when you give God sweet communion, you are worshiping God. All I'm simply trying to tell you is that we need to be reminded that we ought to be praise and worshiping people. Ask somebody, do you still have a praise for him? We worship God for who he is, and we praise God for what he's done. We worship him for being the Jehovah Jireh in our life, the God that provides. But we praise God even though the check, we worship him even though the check don't come in the mail. We worship him for being Jehovah Rapha, but we praise him even though the x-rays come back positive. We worship him because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But we praise him even though we in the middle of the bad situation. We must learn how to give God a yet praise. What I'm simply trying to tell you today is that circumstances will sometimes stop you from giving God a total praise. And if you want to turn around, you better learn how to open up your mouth and give God some praise. Do I have a witness in here? You got to learn how that whatever state you're in to give God a praise. The Bible said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You may be weary, but you got to learn how to get a yet praise down in your soul. You must learn how to praise God in all your situation. Anybody here frustrated? But you got to learn how to give him a yet praise. Yet will I praise you. I'm by myself. My man left me. My woman left me. I'm by myself. But yet, help me, Holy Ghost, to preach your word. Yet will I praise him. You can be living in the valley, living on do nothing days, living on broken pieces, living on borrowed time. But if you got a yet praise down on the inside, yet will I praise him. Somebody here waited all year, 2006, crawled into 2007, and it feel like things ain't gonna get better. But if you got a yet praise, it says to the Lord, that yet you slay me, yet will I serve you, that I'm in this thing, because I know in my heart that somehow, some way, you're gonna bring me. me out of this. I'm going to praise you in my wait, in my frustration. The Bible said, if I wait on him, he'll bring me out. Do I have any witnesses in here that can testify that I waited patiently upon the Lord? He inclined unto me, heard my cry, brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I'm glad. I'm so glad that waiting on God will bring about deliverance in your life. Somebody here, you may have been fighting the devil tooth and nail. The enemy decided that it's your turn to go down, but the devil is a liar. Any imp, any emissary don't have the power to bring you down. You ought to get it in your spirit that it's time for my turn around. I might be outnumbered, I might be outgunned, but how many folks know that God is able? He's able to bring you out. I stop by to let you know, they may not give you a raise on your job, but in your soul you gotta yet praise. You might be waiting on the manifestation of your miracle, but do you have yet praise? I'm reminded of what the scripture said, that when Jehoshaphat prayed to God, got the praise team start marching towards his victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time for a turnaround. You need to turn your situation around. It's time to get your stuff back. It's time to stop ignoring your enemies. There comes a time that every dog has his day. Every bully meet his match. Your time has come. Have somebody and say, neighbor, it's your season. Your season of blessing. Your season of deliverance. Thank you. Thank you. Your season of coming out. The Bible said that Jehoshaphat got the men together, stop marching towards the crowd, towards the enemy. And sometimes in order to come out, you got to face your enemies. You got to face the very thing that causes you fear. If you want to turn around, you got to face your fears. Depend on God that somehow he's going to bring me out. The Bible said that as they prayed and praised God, that something happened. The Lord allowed the angels to run before him to set ambushment against the enemy. That's what I got to tell you, that the Lord has dispatched angels from up in glory to go before you, make perfect your path. Anybody here, can you testify that before I got there, he worked it out? The old folks used to sing the song, well, I'm trying to figure it out. The Lord have already worked it out. Do I have a witness here? He's bringing it to pass. He's fighting your battles while you're in it. You're in it to come out of it. Y'all know the story. Before Israel got there, God had already broken down the enemy. They looked at one another and killed one another. But I'm trying to tell you that the Lord will set up ambushment, that whatever come against you, it will not work. I heard the Bible say that the weapons that's formed against you shall not work. Find somebody, encourage them, say, it will not work. It will not work. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, do what you want to do, but as for me in my house, I want my turnaround. If God said this is your season, if God said it's your turn, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Lord is coming your way. You're coming out of it. He heard you. Get ready. Your enemies are coming down. They're coming down. They're coming down. Turn to somebody and say, they're coming down. They're coming down. Whatever you are going through, the Bible assures us today that God has already given you the victory. Now just ask your neighbor, are you ready for your turnaround? Are you ready for your turnaround? Now, I don't know about you, but some of us in here, we past due for a turnaround on our jobs, in our home, with our health, in our finances, with our marriages, with our relationship, in our churches, with our gifts. We are past due for a spiritual turnaround. Just ask somebody, are you ready for your turnaround? Can't get a turnaround being cool. Can't get a turnaround trying to be pretty. Can't get a turnaround, you know, you're scared to scar up your shoes and don't want to get a run in your stockings. Sometimes it's hard to get a turnaround, keep the wig on your head at the same time. I wish I had some help up in here. Sometimes you gotta make your mind, do I want this turnaround? Do I wanna keep this weave on my head? Turn to somebody and say, I want my turnaround. I want my turnaround. If I got to lose it this morning, it just lost. Somebody stuff it in my purse. I'll tie it up later. Baby, but sometimes you gotta let some things go in order to get your turnaround. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that God not only wants to give us a turnaround individually, but God wants to give us a turnaround as a church. And I felt something on. He wants to give us a turnaround as a church. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to do a turnaround. I can't get no help up in here. Have you ever said that I ain't gonna do it, and you did it again? You wasn't going back, but you went back one more time. Said you was gonna stop being like that, but you kept on being like that. It's hard to break what you used to be the person God have called you to be. And what I found out is that sometimes you have to be as reckless with your turnaround as you was reckless when you was on the other side. I can't get no help up in here. And that means that I was wild and loud over there. I was crazy. I didn't care about people. I didn't care about situations. I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. So that lets me know that I got some guts and I got some nerves. But I did it anyway because I was on a mission to accomplish something. Ain't quite sure what it was I was trying to accomplish, but I know I was trying to accomplish something. And the way I woke up every morning and went to bed, I had to have some determination because I kept on trying every day until I made it. And normally making it really constitute digging yourself in a hole, separating yourself from God. That's what making it really means. That I reached the pinnacle of fulfilling my lustful flesh. That's what making it in the flesh really means. But now that you come over here and you're tired of what you used to be over there, but you've been like this for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. How do you stop doing something you've been doing for 20 years to do something that you only been doing for a couple years over here? Do I have a witness in here? And how many here, how many people in here want to trust God with your whole heart? But you got so much bad behavior, got so much bad blood, got so many bad environments, got so many bad attitudes that you used to hold on to when you was in the world, that it keep bleeding over into your new environment, into your new world. Baby, I stopped by to tell you that you got to learn how to bring that thing into subjection. Oh, I'm through, but I got to challenge you to do one thing. Jehoshaphat sealed his deal with God when they did one thing. God may ask you to do 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different things, but it's one thing that seals the deal. Example, Jesus came, healed sick, raised dead, gave sight blind, back to the blind, died on the cross, went in a grave. But what sealed the deal is when he kicked open the grave the third day morning and pimped his way out of that tomb and said, I was he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. That is what sealed the deal. That is what made all the miracles, all the suffering, all the dying worth it. Had he not got up out the grave, the dying would have been in vain. What I'm saying to you is that you did step one, you did step two, you did step three, but you left out step four, so the deal is not sealed until you do step four. Third thing that God told them to do was that you got to change your environment. Now, this is personal, and I just want to know, can I just get a few people to stand with me while we change our environment on our job, our environment, in our home, our environment, in our church? Change your environment. What do you want it to be? Do you want it to be an environment of peace and prosperity? Do you want it to be an environment where you can praise God? Do you want your environment to be an environment where you can get a word from the Lord? Raise up your hands and then do like Judah did. Begin to praise God. Begin to sing praises to him. Begin to give him glory. Begin to give him honor. Open up your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for where I am. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for beating my enemies. Thank you for defeating my foes. Thank you for showing me how to win. Thank you for being stronger than me. Thank you for being stronger than my enemies. Thank you for being in charge of my destiny. Thank you for not letting anybody hurt me. Thank you for not letting them overrun me. Thank you for healing me, God. Thank you for delivering me. Open up your mouth. Change your environment. Let God see your heart. Let God see your praise. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Change your environment, change your environment, change your environment, change your environment. I would no longer have a pity party in this house of God. I would no longer complain in this house of God, but I would praise him. I would give him some glory. I would give God honor. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, 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 hey. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Do y'all mind if I take me a private praise break? I'm trying to hang with y'all corporately, but I think I'm going to have to bow out of this corporate worship for a hot second, and I'm going to have to go to my private praise party. I got to praise God for what he's done for me. I got to change my environment. I got to let God see the praises of my... Baby, it's a personal thing. Hey! It's personal, personal, personal. If you're ready for your turnaround, this is your opportunity to do what Jehoshaphat and Judah did. He prayed about it as a nation. And if you want to come today and bow yourself before God to tell God about your Amorites and to tell God about your Hittites and to tell God about all those people and those things that have come up against you, then this is your opportunity to come to make your peace with God, to get God to be on your side. And it's all right to be outnumbered and outgunned. It is all right when the enemy have more resources than you. That's fine. That's fair game. That's not an issue. Don't worry about it. If your enemy's got more guns than you have, if they got more ammunition than you have, don't worry about it. That's your pocket. God got another pocket that you don't know about. And God will give you access to his resources. He'll give you access to the things that he has. And what God has outnumbers the enemy all the time. If there's anybody in here that don't know the Lord as your Savior, if there's anybody in here that want to spend some time with God at this altar, saying to the Lord, it's time for my turnaround. I accept it. I receive it. Then you come right now. The altar is open. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open. If you want to know him as your Savior, come right now. If you want to get to the point in your spirit to walk with God, where you say, I'm tired of this environment. There has to be something better. And many times it's what we do, is what we say is that creates the environment. And I stop by to tell you, if we create it, if we do it, then the Lord wants to show you today. He wants to show you today that I have the power, the ability to change your environment. He tells us today, Romans 10:9, that if thou wilt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and